The XXXXXXX Files.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
Hello, welcome to CKUT, The XX Files. We're on. Thank you for tuning in. We have here Julia the Ghoul.
The Ghoul.
The Ghoul, sorry.
And B Police. And we have a special in-studio guest today, Zania, who is an artist from Toronto, currently doing her master's at Concordia here in Montreal. And she is a part of the HTMLE's festival. Her work is in the exhibition called Future Memories at Articule, which is on until the first week of December. Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So first, maybe can you start by giving us a little bit of an overview of your art practice and what you're working on here in Montreal as part of the HTMLEs?
Sure. So I am a photo-based artist, but I work also in video and installation and different sort of media, branching out a bit right now. My practice generally deals with like issues of cross-cultural translation and gender and identity based politics. So I have two pieces as part of the HTMLs festival in Articule right now with a bunch of other really great female artists. I have an installation that's called Vina. Did you want me to go and like talk about what they're about?
If you want to, it's just like a kind of a quick overview of.
Okay. Yeah, so I have an installation piece that is a bunch of about seven saris, which is long silk fabric that is suspended from a sort of curtain rod and cascaded onto the floor. And there's a video portrait projection of a woman and a narrative piece that I've written that is being played. So the piece is kind of dealing with false ideas of nostalgia. It's very, it's a very beautiful, feminine, almost sort of exotic piece, but I'm kind of trying to play with interpretations of exoticism, and the narrative is fictionalized, and it's read by the computer, read by my Mac in an Indian accent, because there's an Indian accent on the Mac, but she's speaking English. So I'm just trying to play with different methods of authenticity. And then I also have a film piece that I shot in Pakistan a few years ago, which is kind of about my experience going back to where my family is from, but I am not from, and sort of dealing with issues of belonging and identity, but also documenting a place as an outsider that I'm kind of supposed to be an insider of.
Right. Yeah. Cool. So you use like some personal testimonials and narrative in your films, which is kind of almost like a kind of journalism type feel to it, but also kind of it's a personal narrative as well. So mm-hmm. also kind of a diary sort of feel to it, which is really interesting. And so how did you decide that you would include your own thoughts and reflections in your work? And like what function does this play for you?
It took a while for me to get there. Like I originally wanted to actually be a photojournalist. That's kind of like why I got into photography. And I wanted to, tell stories with photos. But then I kind of realized that there is really no objective position, especially in photography or film, when you're trying to document. So I had gone to Pakistan, and I mostly took photos when I went there because I kind of wanted to come back and make this reportage-type project. But then the photos were, like, super problematic because I wasn't really able to capture the feeling of actually being there. And I didn't think that, especially, like, for my classmates here in Toronto, I didn't really think they would get what my experience actually was just from the photos on their own. So I decided to make a film and use a combination of text and narrative and subtitling and video to really show the backstory of what I actually was feeling. Like sometimes, you know, you might have a really like beautiful, tranquil looking picture, but what's happening behind the scenes is a lot more. It can be like super stressful, and what you see is not only always what you're experiencing. So wanted to talk about stuff like that.
Cool. Has that been well received in being in art school and in the art world, where people always want their work to kind of speak for itself and leave things open to interpretation?
I think there's still a lot of room to interpret the piece. But yeah, I guess it's funny, like it's always weird for me to kind of just be inferring my own opinion into the work, but then that's what it is, right? Like that's what, and I think that like as opposed to me like putting in my own personal, I'm putting myself on the line, right? As opposed to someone else. So it's like I'm putting myself in that position of scrutiny, and like you're doing that with art anyway, whether sometimes it's more subtle, like if you have an abstract piece, it's more subtle, people are not necessarily hearing your voice and hearing what you think. But I think with this piece, it's really important part of it. So yeah.
And how do you navigate the kind of all the vulnerability of implicating yourself, your own history, your own narrative, and also like in some cases your family, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of cases.
Into your work.
Again, I think that I tend to use my own personal experience because sometimes it does feel like a little overindulgent, but I think I am drawn to it because I am putting myself in the forefront rather than someone else. I've done other work where it's like a more like documentary and I'm using someone else's experience, but at the end of the day, when you're a director or a maker, you are the one making the decisions about what people see. And when it's my own voice, I can be more brutal, I guess, or like be a little bit like less careful because it's me, rather than I would be more worried about putting someone else on the line. So, and I use my own experience because I guess like, well, it's available to me, but also it seems to be relatable to a lot of people. That's the feedback I've gotten, so that's always like really enjoyable for me. Yeah.
Yeah, it is really, I found it really cool. And do you want to jump in here, Becky?
I wanted to ask you personally, like, how do you feel in terms of like being so vulnerable, putting yourself on the line? Don't you feel at times that you have an own issue with your own identity? Do you feel as though you're at a loss, or do you feel more empowered?
Totally. I do feel at a loss. I think that the film Seaview in particular was really a great, it's a way for me to reconcile with some of those issues of identity and confusion. I was able to really get through, it's almost like it was like a cathartic thing for me to do. So it's like almost like I'm just like working through it in the piece. And I definitely do feel differently after having made it. I feel differently about myself after having made it. So it is like putting myself out there, but it's also like super beneficial for me. Like, for example, there's a part of the piece in which like I'm speaking Urdu with my family's driver, and I'm like struggling through it. And that was really cathartic for me because I don't usually speak like my mother tongue with my family, actually. And my parents, when they heard it, that was like one of the first times that they actually heard me like speak. And they're like, what? Like, that's you? Like, it was really weird for them to hear me. But now it's like, now that I've done that on film, it's like I feel really confident doing it in real life. So it's definitely like, yeah, a way for me to work through some of those issues.
They see another side.
Yeah, that's nice.
Another thing is like, has photography and filmmaking helped you mediate your own relationship with culture, space, and time?
Yeah. It definitely has. There's a part of the film where I'm also like going into the computer screen, and that for me was another way of like expose that was almost more personal, because like today, the computer is almost like another extension of our bodies, and it's like it's so personal, and bringing people into like, you see like my homepage and like my tabs and like all this stuff, and I was almost like, is this a security threat? Like, am I gonna be showing this in the public? Like, is that an okay thing for me to do. And that was definitely a moment of vulnerability on a different scale, because, you know, artists have been doing like self-portraits for a really long time, but this was almost like more personal in a way. Yeah,
right, Kate. It's not just you, it's like, well, I guess the computer part is like that's really you.
That's really,
you know, it's
me,
like that's everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that you would like that for you seemed kind of maybe like more vulnerable than, you know, like, yeah, putting yourself like speaking this language that you're not comfortable with, or going back to like to visit like a part of your heritage, mm-hmm. and to kind of like navigate your like your family and where you come from. It's like, yeah, how do you find that those are similar sensations, or do you find that they're different? Like kind of making yourself vulnerable in this like online way, and then making yourself vulnerable in this very like kind of cultural way.
It's a different kind of vulnerability. I think it pertains to two different audiences in some ways. Like the online way, I guess maybe that's more of like a public audience I'm making myself vulnerable to. In the other way, I'm making myself vulnerable, but more to people maybe of my own background. I think like a lot of people who are from like, who are second generation Canadian or whatever, do have this feeling of guilt sometimes, or like just discomfort and trying to reconcile those two sort of identities. And you feel this push and pull, like, oh, I'm not enough of this one and I'm too much of the other one, and how do I find a balance? Like, you know, I can't even speak my own mother tongue very well. Like, that's like, that was a big like source of shame for me for a long time. And yeah, it's like you're constantly like dealing with this push and pull of like trying to be both. And I think that's also like the world that we're moving into. Like, you know, lots of people have more than two sort of identities that they're reconciling with, or like multiple. But working in these kind of techniques, personally, it helps me deal with some of those issues. Yeah.
And do you feel personally that you have reconciled those things, that you have gone back to your roots now that you're speaking a bit of your mother tongue? Do you feel a bit more complete, maybe? Or
I do feel a little bit more like empowered to talk about it, because the thing is that like in my work I often talk about these issues, but sometimes it's like you almost feel like a bit of an imposter. It's like, who am I to even like, even when I was going back to Pakistan to take these pictures, it's like there's part of the film where I talk about like I took these really beautiful pictures, but it's like, are they any different than like someone like Steve McCurry or like famous photojournalists or like, you know, like white men who are working at National Geographic are taking? Is it really that different? But it's supposed to be different because I'm a very different person and I'm from a different time and a different place.
Awesome.
But sometimes it doesn't always feel that way. So like that idea of like agency, like who gets to share their story as well, is of concern to me. But yeah, I feel like because I've done it, now I feel like more confident to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel that that kind of that testimonial as part of, and that reflection as part of the artwork itself is like, so what's so interesting to me, because yeah, when you kind of like, there's this part where you can see that you're looking through the photos and there are beautiful photos, and you know, and you're like, this is the kind of work that I always wanted to make, like these are the kind of photos that I've always wanted to take, but now I'm looking at them and I'm thinking like, what is this even, like, what am I even trying to say? I think it's like, I'm paraphrasing, but you're essentially saying like, I accomplished exactly what I wanted, but feeling like now I don't even, like, what am I saying by doing this?
Mm-hmm. Message,
really
different. Yeah.
Because I came back and I had all this content and it's like, okay, but I feel like I failed. Like I have all this stuff, but like what is it actually saying? So that's kind of when these techniques came in and I had watched some experimental film and I was like, oh, like that was a really like liberating moment where I was like, oh, I'm allowed to talk about like the failure in the work.
It's oh,
like,
you can do that.
Yeah. That was like, whoa, I don't have to pretend like I have these answers. I can just be like, this is what I did, and it feels weird now. It feels wrong. Not wrong, but it just feels like not enough. And I can talk about that and not try to like put the work out there and be like, yes, this is what I think and it's right and this is the way it should be. Like, no, I don't have those answers. But mm-hmm. I think it's more interesting to work out problems with people and expose problems.
And you're definitely more transparent in your work because of those challenges, I guess.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So does it feel more like a success now that you've been able to kind of include all of this dialogue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely does. It's definitely that piece is like the one piece that I've made that I'm like most happy with. So yeah, so it's funny that it's like, I think definitely like things have to come from a place of failure or let's just like trial and error for them to work. Yeah.
That's art, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. And when do you ever know when something is supposed to be done, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so I think that that's really interesting to have the reflection. Mm-hmm. So then let's talk about a little bit about your other piece that's up at Articule. My name is Vina. Mm-hmm. So can I ask who is Vina?
Yeah, so Vina is the name of the Mac voice. This piece started, I was experimenting a little bit in my undergrad with just like different like modes of installation, and I had these saris. They're my mom's saris, so that's like an Indian dress from like the subcontinent of India. It's basically a long piece of fabric that you wrap in a certain way around your body, and it's very elegant and usually made of like silk or chiffon, so they're very flowy and beautiful, different colors and patterns. And then I decided to make this video portrait of a woman wearing the sari. And again, it's very like ephemeral, like nostalgic. It's kind of like there's like flickering light, so it looks like 60s like Bollywood, and like she's like this beautiful girl. So it was very like feminine. And there was definitely a certain sense of like memory and nostalgia going on in the piece. But then when I got the reception from the piece, people really liked it, but I kind of felt that nobody really was, like, reading into it just beyond the, like, physical level of it. Like, they were just really entranced with the beauty of the work.
And so they were...
Yeah.
It was, like, taking it kind of as face value and further kind of fetishizing it? Okay.
Exactly. And, like, not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but it's also, like... not enough for me. And there was an audio piece as well at that time, but it was my dad talking about his mom wearing the sari, and he was mostly speaking in Urdu. And I was like, well, nobody's really understanding what this is about, obviously, because they can't. And I just got annoyed by the reception of it, because I'm very skeptical of beauty generally in my work. Maybe it's something to do with just like being a young woman. It's like I have this like complex where it's like I want people to take me seriously, so I don't want to make my work too pretty. Mm-hmm. So it's like so this time I made a pretty work and I was like, what, I don't like how this is going. So I decided to make this narrative that's loosely based on my mom's experience moving to England after she got married, but it's not really, because I made it up. It's a narrative that I'm projecting that experience onto her, because it's just like little snippets of things I've heard from growing up, and what I think that she might have felt or someone else might have felt. And I saw this voice on the Mac, because there's different languages you can get the computer to read back to you,
right.
But there's also different accents, only in English though, and the only English accents, there's like, you know, Australian and Irish and English, British and whatever, but one of the only like accents from someone of color is the Indian accent. Her name is Vina, and she says, you guys can like go on your computers and try it, but she says, hello, my name is Vina, I am an Indian English voice, in this like accent. But I also found it funny because her accent is the most realistic out of all of the computer accents.
So I've actually used this voice too, because I just do a lot of work with the like disembodied voice,
right?
So, and that was the one when I was going through all of them, I'm like, this one does sound the most, like,
yeah,
totally does sound the most realistic. Like, her voice is really good. It's much better than Siri.
Yeah. No, it's it. Funny. I think it's part of it is because she's not like she's a person of color. Like I think maybe because she has an accent and we expect people to kind of talk like that. So that's why I wanted to use her voice, because especially when you're looking at the piece and you're hearing it, the narrative in the background, it's like not always apparent if it's a real person or not. Mm-hmm. So I found that like confluence really interesting. And then again, I'm like kind of trying to play with this idea of fabrication. So that's why I have the piece there. And I hope it, I don't know, you guys can tell me what you think if you get to see it.
But yeah. So you feel like it's like the criticism is a little bit, or kind of what you're trying to explore is like a little bit more apparent now that you have used this synthetic voice telling this story in English?
It's in English, okay. Yeah. I think it's just a little bit of confusion, which I like to kind of confuse people a little bit. I think that was important to me, just to get people to question what is real and what is not real, because the narrative is also not real. Not to say it's a total lie, because it's not based on, like, it's based on truth, but it's not someone's experience. And this accent, like, I had, like, one of the other artists asked me if it was my mom reading the voice or if it was a computer, and I was like, my mom doesn't sound anything like this at all. But I think it's interesting to kind of bring up those questions and think about it. Yeah, the work a little more. Yeah.
Awesome.
So is there kind of other ways that you've used technology to kind of, to either reflecting on technology or using technology itself in your work to kind of, reflect on the role of technology in personal and public, like you touched on a little bit with the computer screen, and then obviously there's the computer voice. Do you see that taking more of a role in your work in the future?
Potentially, especially because it is such a, you know, it's such a useful tool for someone like me who does deal a lot with like personal narrative. It's so like, you know, it is like the modern diary. It's like we put so much of ourselves into the public sphere. And so I can't imagine it not being a part of my practice in the future. I've never, it's always just been like sort of a part of the piece. But I can't imagine it not being a part, just because it's so part of our life now.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to not use it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to conceal that identity that you put out there as well. So you have to keep it up.
Yeah. Because part of our identity is also, it's not private anymore. It's also how you show online.
That's,
you know,
right.
You know, the pictures you put up, the things you post, people you hang out with. Like, it's all public now. It's like before, maybe you could kind of do those things more in private and I don't know. It's like you're also exposing yourself to like not criticism, but like speculation.
Absolutely.
More than before. So I think that also changes the way we see ourselves, because it's like now we have this disembodied thing. Like if I want to see how people see me, I can go on my Instagram or my Facebook and like look through. And sometimes I have like had this moment, I'm sure we all have, where it's like you're obsessed about like, oh my God, like who's looking at me? How does this look? Does this make me look
like
good?
How do I perceive it all?
So, yeah.
It's like strange. We used to be like, oh, how, you know, people used to be like, oh, you know, they're good on paper. You know, like it's like true. If you have these things, but it's like now it's like, oh, she's good on a screen.
Yeah. Like, well, pleasing. She looks really cool. She's a lot of followers, so maybe she...
Like, interesting on the internet.
Yeah.
True, that's so true. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we are about out of time, so thank you so much, Sina, for coming in. Please go check out Future Memories up at Articule until the first week of December. It is an amazing group show that was put on, programmed for the HTMLEs Festival, which was last weekend and was so amazing. If anybody had the opportunity to check it out, I'm sure you know that. And so until next week, this is the XX Files.
Thank you for tuning in, and see you next Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.